Good morning, everybody. A really warm welcome to St. John's this morning for our service. Well, sort of service, sort of celebration, sort of party, really. Have you seen the bunting up today? Bunting outside, the sun is shining. And that's because today is the day when in the church around the world, we remember St. John the Baptist. And you might then notice that we are St. John the Baptist Church. So it's an opportunity for us to celebrate and to give thanks. And so the theme of our service today is about giving thanks, celebrating God's generosity, his abundance, all of his goodness to us. Now, 13 people connected. So what this is going to allow you to do is we're going to have a little quiz about the abundance and generosity of God in the things that he has made. God is a creator. And so the created world, everything that surrounds us, everybody that we know, everything we interact with, everything we own, everything we see from day to day, he made. And his goodness is on display in everything that we see. 22 of you online now, well done, excellent, keep going, keep going. This is what the psalmist says about God in Psalm 19. He says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork." In other words, if you want to know how good and amazing and abundant God is, just look around you. Look at the heavens, look at the skies, look at everything proclaiming his handiwork. Day to day, it pours forth speech. Night to night, it declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. The abundance and generosity of God is there for us to see if only we will look. So let's have a look with the 27 people now registered to vote in this morning's quiz about the goodness of God and all that he has made. So there's going to be a series of questions and you will have an opportunity to vote and you'll be able to see where other people are voting if you're not quite sure. Let's find out about this amazing world that God has made. We're going to start off with a question about clouds. Ah, because I like clouds. I'm a cloud spotter. By the way, can I just say to the people who've lent me very technical, scientific books about clouds, thank you, that's really kind of really generous. I don't care, they just look pretty. Clouds, it's this amazing moving picture in the sky all the time. So how many basic cloud types are there according to the Met Office? How many basic cloud types? Oh, there's a 4 is taking an early lead. 15. Right, brilliant, brilliant. How are we doing? 29 voters there. How are we doing so far? 30 voters now. So there's been some of you already picking up the theme of today. The abundance of God are clearly just going for the biggest number. But a number of the more discerning members of our congregation wondering if there's as few as 4. And the correct answer is there are 10 basic cloud types. So it wasn't a very popular answer, but there's the cirrus cumulus, the cirrus stratus, the alto cumulus, the alto stratus, the nimbus stratus, the stratocumulus, the stratus, the cumulus, and of course everybody's favorite, the cumulonimbus, exactly. Very good, very good. But isn't that amazing that just that there's this constant, beautiful picture being painted in the sky with the 10 basic cloud types? Let's try another question. This is another of my passions, ducks. I love ducks. I think I probably could eat a whole one. No. Ducks. How many species of wild duck are there in the UK? How many species of wild duck in the UK? For those of you who are bird spotters and want to know what my definition of a duck in the UK is, ducks who are winter visitors or introduced species do count. Okay, so winter visitors and introduced species do count. 15 is getting very popular votes. Very popular. 15 is the runaway lead at the moment. Do you know, when I used to live in Weymouth, the route into town was a walk across the bird reserve, the Radipole Bird Reserve, and there was a little bridge there, and I'd cross it, and there was always all these ducks around, and not just lots of ducks, lots of different types of ducks. There were mallards, and there were runner ducks, and there were tufted ducks, and there were Aylesbury ducks, and you'd look at all these ducks and go, wow, God must really love ducks. There's a lot of ducks. Not just to make one duck, but to make a whole bunch of ducks. How many ducks? 21 ducks was the correct answer. 21 species of duck in the UK. But that's nothing compared to the 162 species of ducks, geese and swans that there are worldwide. 162 different types of ducks, geese and swans. Okay, maybe you're kind of more into your little squidgies, crawly type insects. How many insect species are there in the United Kingdom? Don't worry, it'll come back. How many insect species? I hope it's coming back. There it is. You're just having wild guesses now, aren't you? You're just having wild guesses. How are you doing back here? Do you know, there was a famous Victorian scientist who was asked once, what does the created order tell us about gods? And he said, God? And he said, I think it shows that God really liked bugs. I think it was Huxley. So the correct answer to that one was actually 27,000 types of insect. Quite a lot of you got that one right. Well done. Well done. But our good and abundant God, it's not just about the stuff down here on earth, is it? It's also about the stuff not even on our earth, the stuff that we can barely see up in the heavens above us. So the next question is all about stars in the sky. How many stars are there in the Milky Way, which is the galaxy that we're in, the collection of stars we are in? Is it 100,000, 100 million, 100,000 million, or 100 million million? Oh, a lot of people have dropped off.
Yeah, I don't think there are over 100 million stars.
100 million million seems to be coming out as the leader. Look, whatever the correct answer is here, just think about those numbers. They are enormous, absolutely enormous numbers. And in Genesis, it says when God made the earth, oh, he made the stars also. Go and read Genesis chapter 1. Oh, he made the stars as well. Did I mention that? Millions and millions of stars. In fact, in the Milky Way, there are 100,000 million stars. 100,000 million was the correct answer. But if you think that number should be bigger, you're absolutely right, because the Milky Way is only one of millions and millions and millions of galaxies. And every single one of those millions and millions of galaxies has got millions and millions of stars in it. The number we are talking about is so big that they just have to do really big, broad brush guesses. Nobody's exactly sure how many stars there are up there. It's just loads, absolutely loads. So, have a think about this one. This one's quite tricky. If it's coming up, hold on. Has it got there? Yeah. Are there more stars in the sky, or are there more grains of sand on Earth? More sand or more stars? So for those of you who like the details, we're including beaches and deserts and anywhere where you might find sand on Earth. Any sort of sand, anywhere on Earth. How are we doing? Oh, it's quite close, isn't it? It's quite close. So a lot of people thinking there's more grains of sand, and that I think is a very sensible answer because there's an awful lot of sand, but the correct answer is actually that there are more stars than grains of sand. Do you remember I said there were millions and millions and millions and billions of stars? The best guess of an Australian scientist a few years ago was that there are 10 times more stars that we can see than there are grains of sand. So for every little grain of sand that you find on the beach, there's at least 10 more stars, and it might be an awful lot more than that. It might be an awful lot more of that. So what on earth sort of a God have we got who just loves making, who loves creating so much that he's not happy just with one cute little fuzzy duck? He wants loads of ducks. He's not happy just with one little insect and one little bee to pollinate. He creates thousands. He makes stars that aren't even in this world for us to enjoy and get close to and find out about, and he just chucks them around with abandon. What an extraordinary God. He is generous, he is abundant, he is joyfully full of creativity. If you're still logged onto that, just stay on that web page. You can put your phones away for a bit, but we have got one more question coming up in a minute. But we're going to sing again about this amazing, abundant, generous creator God. We're going to sing "All Heaven Declares," the glory of this amazing God and the amazing things he's done in our lives. So we'll stand if you're comfortable to do that as we sing together. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are such an amazing, abundant God, that your heavens are declaring your greatness and your glory. We want to know more about you, so continue to speak to us now as we continue to dig into your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you like to have a seat? So if that's God in creation... Thank you, Marion. Yes, you can. If that's God in creation and his creation, his handiwork, the things he's made, tells us what sort of a God he is, an amazing, abundant, joyously generous God. What about Jesus? If Jesus is the revelation of God to us, if this is how we know all about Jesus, what does it look like when Jesus is with us? Is he also generous like that? Well, Marion's going to read us a story from near the beginning of John's Gospel. About Jesus attending a wedding.
This first reading is the Psalm 19, which is the Psalm of David, about God's glory in creation and the law. And if you want to find this in the Pew Bibles, it's 433. That's what I was given. Do you want me to do something else? That's what Liz gave me.
Can you read this? Can you read this text?
Yeah, yes.
Can you do the wedding at Canaan?
Right.
John 2, 1 to 11.
1 to 11.
To that.
On the third day. Yep.
Yep, perfect.
Well, that makes a celebration. This reading is from John, chapter 2, about the wedding in Canaan. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward said to the bridegroom, and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests had become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I think Marion deserves a round of applause as well for reading that. Thank you, Marion. Sorry about that mix-up. It was brilliantly read, brilliantly read. So the wedding at Cana, it's a very familiar story, isn't it, to many of us? And did you see that John described that story? He said this was the first sign. In other words, this isn't just a story about Jesus, and this isn't just a miracle of Jesus. This is a sign. It's meant to be telling us something. It's meant to be indicating something else. And what is it indicating? Well, it's indicating what God is like. If we see in Jesus the Father, if the Father and he are one, then what does this story tell us about what God is like? Well, have you ever thought about the wine? Yeah, I can see some of you definitely have thought about the wine. I mean, that's your favourite bit of the story. But you remember in the story it says that he filled up 6 jars. And you think, yeah, that's quite decent, isn't it? 6 bottles of wine. No, it's not 6 bottles of wine. Have a look at the sort of jars that we're talking about. These are some jars that have been dug up, and these were there for ceremonial cleaning. So the idea was there was plenty of water in there. You could scoop out the water you needed for everybody who was at the feast to do their ceremonial washing. I think there's another picture of what the 6 jars might have looked like. So, you know, think big font type amounts of water. And he turns that into wine. It's quite a lot of wine. It's quite a lot of wine. I wonder if we can go back to the quiz for your final question. If you've still got your phone and it's still connected up, you may need to just reload the page and see how you're doing. If we can go back to the quiz question, fingers crossed, yes. We've got one more question for you to think about. How much wine did Jesus produce at the wedding at Canaan? You know, give us a break. We're having to have a bit of a guess, but we know roughly how big the jars are. But so are we talking about 50 bottles of wine? Are we talking about 150 bottles of wine? Are we talking about 250 bottles of wine? Or are we talking about even more than that? Even more than that. How much wine did Jesus produce at the wedding at Cana? Oh, lots of people going for even more than that. One very cautious person going for 150 bottles of wine. Right, well, the runaway winner at the moment is even more than 250 bottles of wine. And well done, that is absolutely the correct answer. It was, I'm going to use a technical term here, shed loads of wine. Absolutely loads of wine. Thank you, Toby, that can go down now. If we estimate that those great big jars had maybe 80 to 120 litres of water in them, we are talking about, in modern currency, in those sort of bottles you'd buy in the supermarket, somewhere between 600 and 1,000 bottles of wine for one wedding. Let's just put that in a bit of context. We had a family fun day last weekend. Somebody had the brilliant idea of getting a keg of beer. Oh. There were 72 pints in that keg. And it didn't quite sell out. It was probably about 65 pints we sold on that day, 65 pints. Jesus made about 1,000 pints of wine, not of beer, of wine. Are you getting the picture? When Jesus says, this is my sign to you of what it's like when God comes amongst you, it is a massive, great celebration. It is a party like you wouldn't believe. It is abundance. It is wild generosity, far more than we're ever going to need. That's what it looks like when God comes amongst us. And this is what it looks like throughout Jesus' life and throughout the stories that we read about in the gospel. Do you remember when he made food for, well, twice, 4,000 people on one occasion, then 5,000 people. And how much did they eat? As much as they wanted, until they were full. And there was some left over. That's a bit wasteful, isn't it? You know, if you were the Almighty, wouldn't you just produce just the right amount? No, have as much as you want. Let's be generous, let's pour it out. Do you remember when Jesus was tired, he'd had a long day, he decided to retreat quietly somewhere to pray, and the crowds followed him. And what did he do? Did he say, go away, I need to pray? No, he spoke to them, he healed them, he showed the generous abundance of God that never stops giving. Do you remember the story of the lost son? The one who takes half of his father's wealth and he goes and wildly spends it in a foreign country. And when he comes back, what does the father do? Not only does he forgive him, he holds a feast. He has a massive party. He celebrates. This is what God is like. Incredible, generous, abundant giving. And of course, this is where it really comes to a crunch, on the cross, when we see that God is willing to give everything. He's willing to give himself. He's willing to die for us, for everything that we've ever done wrong. And not just everything that we've ever done wrong, everything that anyone has ever done wrong. Just think about the things that have been done wrong in our world. The Holocaust. Think about Syria. Think about those refugees fleeing from Myanmar, the Rohingyas. Jesus was able to show the generosity of God, saying, I will take all of that on myself. I will start again, give a fresh start to anyone who needs it. That's what the generosity of God looks like. It looks like a beautiful, abundant world. It looks like Jesus living this most abundant, generous life. It looks like God being willing to die for us. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look a bit more in detail at how we then respond to having a God like that. But today is just a party. Today is just celebrating the generosity and the wonderfulness of God, enjoying the fact that he continues to pour out his blessings on us.